At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu. To the old me, scared and unseen, you're the reason I built this dream. Now I speak so others thrive. Turn my scars into sound. I come alive from the ashes of the breakdown. I don't run, I rise, won't back down. This
bound, every word a step, every truth profound. We don't heal in silence, we fight with grace, softness and defiance, lighting up this place.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Ciarlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Welcome. This is Edna White, the host of Keeping It Real on Purpose. I thought I heard some feedback there for a moment. And today we have a special guest, Shantae Hollis. And we want to thank you for being here today. So we're going to get started with the show. And you guys, you know that this is all about real talk with life coaches. So we're excited to hear what Shantae has to say. Again, this is Shantae Hollins, and she's a strong Black woman's coach. She's taking strength by helping them prioritize themselves, rewrite their narratives, and reclaim control over their lives. With over 20 years of experience, she is exceptionally skilled at connecting with others, and her genuine, judgment-free approach has been instrumental in helping women feel safe, ensuring they've been heard, and inspire them into action. She is a professional counselor. She has a master's in life coaching, bachelor's in psychology, and a professional life coaching certification. I want to introduce you to, again, Shantae Hollins. Welcome to the show.
Thank you so much.
So much for me to read there, girl. I was like, I got tongue-tied there.
Thank you so much for having me on your show.
You're welcome. So tell us what strong woman is. Tell me about that.
The strong Black woman is the woman who shows up for everybody and does everything for everybody else. She is expected to not show any emotion. She's expected to overcome and endure everything, and she typically puts herself last in all things.
Yeah. I always said, for me, strong woman, trying to be a strong woman almost killed me, and I'm not doing it I'm not doing it anymore. I am being vulnerable and authentic all the way. Mm-hmm. And if it's not right for some, it's just not right for some. It's
that's right. Like, that's right.
You know,
that's exactly what I tell my clients. It's really not strength. It's really killing you.
Yeah, it's killing you. Yeah. Well, we see that often, and I know as two Black women that really cater to, and not that we're just singling everybody out, but we cater to our, you know, Black women mm-hmm. and girls. So seeing that, you almost want to say, as you know, I know because you have a psychology degree, you almost want to say, you know, knock it off. But as a coach, you have to ask the right question.
Right.
It's so hard, you know.
When you tell someone what to do, they may or may not accept that, right? They may not trust you. You know, they may have some experiences that gets in the way. But when you help guide them and help them find the answers themselves, it's just more meaningful.
Yeah,
absolutely. And it gives them a new kind of strength, and it gives them a new kind of confidence to know that, hey, I had this in me all along.
I just need
someone to help me bring it out. Absolutely.
Often when I get on my mommy hat, or when I, you know, I'm working with younger teens and I start to put on the mommy hat, or I get adults that I want to like shake. Mm-hmm. And then I remember in iRobot, and how the guy was a hologram, and Will Smith was asking all these questions. I don't remember his name in that scene, but he was asking all the questions. No, he wasn't asking the questions. He was like, you know, he was talking to him like he was there, you know, and he's like, you're not asking the right question. And I have to remember, I have to ask questions, because we get in the, you know, our emotions and our need to nurture sometimes when we coach get in the way. How do you navigate that?
Oh my gosh. It's all about me ensuring that the person that I'm talking to is in the driver's seat. I have to remind myself, this is their journey.
Yeah.
And so I am a mother, and I have to remind myself, you're not talking to your child right now.
Yeah.
You're talking to someone who is in control of their own lives. And just like when we get in a vehicle and we're going somewhere that we're not familiar with, we've never been before, we use our GPSs. Back in the day, we used our maps and our maps go and things like that. But just like when you get in your car, even if you've never been there before, you're not familiar with the area, it does not mean you're not capable of driving the car. It just means you need guidance. You need some direction. Mm-hmm. So when I get in that mode of wanting to just say, do this, do this, do this, do this, right, I have to remember, this person's driving the car. You're just aiding with the guidance and the instruction.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good example. Very good example. Yeah, I like that. I like that a lot. So, you know, I want to stay on this journey of Black women, because I think it's so imperative to kind of speak about it and draw that part out. Oftentimes, and I know you've probably seen it, you know, we work with clients that give everything, you know, because we're nurturers by nature and we give everything. How do you navigate a client from not doing that, but not telling them not to do it?
I think when you validate their desire to want to help, like, it's not bad to want to help.
Oh yeah.
But helping them see that they can only give as much as they have within them, and help them see the importance of feeling themselves so that they can continue to give. I think there's a misunderstanding that prioritizing yourself means you're being selfish, that you never do anything for anybody else again. You never, you know, you don't care about anybody else's needs. And that's not true. And so I try to make things practical for them. So just like I use the example of being in the driver's seat and just needing guidance, I ask them questions about, okay, so what do you want to do? And that's generally what their goals and such are. And then I just ask them, so how are you going to do that? Or how have you been doing that? And help them get the dots between I haven't been, or I have been, but I'm suffering. And then you just, you take the questions back around to what it would look like if they.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Or first field, how, what kind of impact would they have on the life of the other person? How it's so much more fulfilling when they can help someone else and not deplete themselves. You know, it's all about taking where they are. So like you said earlier, asking the right questions. And I use a lot of metaphors and a lot of real life examples, because when you can see the example, like every time a person car, they think about, oh yeah, she talked about me being in the driver's seat and how the GPS or the map is just an aid, or how I need gas in order to go, and you know, I need an engine in order to go. Being using practical examples like that, I use the car every time they get in the car. I don't have to tell them, because now every time they get in the car, they automatically think of conversations that we had in it. And so I try to tie their real life circumstances, cooking dinner, driving cars, raising children, whatever, to what I'm trying to help them understand and help them guide them through with coaching. And I find that that keeps me from having to tell them. I can, I can show them through the proper questions.
Right. Exactly. Okay. All right. So where are you located? Don't let me, because I have your bio. I'm going to look that up. Okay, you're Texas. That's right. Texas. Love it over there. Love Texas. Love it. So where you are now with the professional counseling, right? Is there a difference between coaching and counseling? Because we know there's a difference between therapy. But is counseling and therapy similar?
Yes, counseling and therapy are similar. I think the biggest difference between the therapy and the coaching and the counseling is the simplest way I've been able to put it together is who's in control, who has the answers. Also, it boils down to, are you looking at the past, the present, or the future? Because counseling and therapy walks you back to the past and things that have happened to you in the past, and helps bring you up to your present. Gotcha. And of course, you know that coaching starts you in your present and helps you move forward to your future. Awesome. And so counseling and therapy, they go hand in hand, but it's also who has the power, who has all the answers.
That's really good. So in your experience, and I know in my own, working with women of color, what types of issues do they have that you've kind of helped them with that has to do with workplace?
Oh my gosh, with workplace, it's generally not being able, the feeling of not being able to express their true feelings. There's always the fear of being labeled as the angry Black woman. And then there is I want to call it a belief, but it's really not a belief. Unfortunately, it's our reality where we think we have to work so much harder than our counterparts. And so it's usually being able to process feelings. What I've been working with is processing those feelings and how to express those feelings in a way that honors themselves, but also gets them heard. And then also just confidence. Sometimes whatever workplace we're in, it just attacks our confidence. And usually it's it's not because we're not capable. Sometimes we are the smartest one in the room, but we can't present ourselves as that because people get intimidated. And so we tend to shrink ourselves. There's so many things that happens to us as
Black women. Absolutely. You not only shrink, but you doubt yourself, but then it's so much more on you, depending if you're in a toxic, you know, environment, then being this, first of all, I've experienced it, being the only Black woman in the room is not a good place. It's not. We've been, you know, I don't know where we got that from, but when you live it, you'd be like, no. And being the smartest one in the room is doubly not good. It does something to your demeanor. It changes you. It mentally, it does something to you. Because I know just working, and I've always worked for myself. I've owned a real estate for about 20 years, but I went back to the workforce because I was asked to go back for a project. And so I know why I never worked for nobody. It was the worst 4 years. It was enjoyed. I understood the mission that, you know, I loved their mission. We could do so much. I was gung ho. And that being in a toxic environment, it wears you down. It wears you down quicker than you know. And I was only there 4 years. Yeah. So I'm saying if I'm worn down in 4 years,
right,
I could just imagine someone in this environment for 15.
That's right.
And it comes back to you as, you know, that strong woman, Black strong woman coach to say, hey, you gotta slow it down. This is, you're good enough as you are. And I've had so many, in that 4 years, I've made so many friends, right? And I can tell you, I want to say two are alive. Two are alive. And I was only there 4 years. They were there longer, and they've died of cancer. Cancer done. It wasn't like, oh, chemo, you know, like a process. It was straight to hospice. It was just,
oh my gosh,
and it's detrimental. And I can't explain to women. I know you say it, and you say it during your speeches and your presentation as a speaker. I can't tell people how much that's important. Caring for yourself, you know, in that perspective in the workplace is so important.
And it spills into everything else because you're so exhausted at work and then you come home and that carries over into your home life. And so you're struggling with your children or you're struggling with your spouse or you're having difficulty in your friendship. We don't realize how everything is connected.
That is correct.
But, oh my gosh, we suffer so much.
I
am still a part of the workforce. And so I'm doing that and my coaching practice at the same time. And it's just
I know what you're feeling.
You teach this very thing to other women.
Yes. I know exactly what you're feeling. I know it.
You know, and I get what you're saying. You support the mission. You love what it is. Mm-hmm. I am very organized, very detail oriented. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I am a critical thinker. I'm very smart, and all of that shows up at work. And then the people around me in my face, they love me, but then they're also intimidated. And I had to teach myself, you do what you're teaching other people to do, and you stand firm and you stand confident and you don't let that destroy you. There was a time I was just my neck and everything every day. And it was just difficult, and I felt like I wasn't being heard, and I knew I was right. And I'm not one of these people that has to boast about, oh, I'm right.
Exactly. Exactly.
I knew I was right and wasn't being hurt, and I had to take a step back. And I'm like, wait a minute, you need to become the student for a moment. And what have you told other women, and you know, and kind of guided them through, and you try to encourage them. You do those things. It people don't really understand how hard it is for Black women just in general. And when I first started coaching, my focus wasn't strictly Black women, but we need it. And it's not that the other communities don't need it.
Exactly. It's not. It really isn't.
We need people who look like us. Mm-hmm. Girl, I got you. Come on, let's do this.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's so very true. Yeah. It's so very true. When you were going through this, and I know I, as soon as you said that, I had the headaches, you know, I had the headaches. As soon as 9 o'clock came, it's like headache, you know, and I mean, I've never had a migraine in my entire life. Never. And I self-diagnosed. I said, this headache is blinding. I would have to close the blinds. It was just horrible. And, you know, like you said, I know I was right. What I was saying, was it rude? What it was backed by, you know, I'm even given statistics and science scientifically, and they would look at me. Now it's even, it was even worse when we were on Zoom, you know, and the faces they were given, it's like, oh, it was just, they would roll their eyes. No one, you know, it was like, I couldn't believe it. I would have to check myself and turn my camera off. And it's like, talk to myself. Yeah. Calm down. Calm down. You know, and you were saying something that was relevant.
Right.
To, you know, to expand everyone, every community.
Right.
You're giving your insight to help the all of the communities. Mm-hmm. Yet they look at you like, really?
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, really? Mm-hmm. That's not true. I even was told that something that was a Black statistic, someone white told me, that's not true. I was like, what? I was like, really? Are you serious right now? Are you really serious right now? I guess I had to say, I said, I got to calm down. I said, you know what? You know, but they really, and what gets me is that the subs, if you, I know you probably experienced that, the subs, you know. Mm-hmm. One that really gets me is, I think you're overly sensitive.
Mm. Wow.
That spoke volumes to me.
Yeah.
Overly sensitive. Mm. Wow. But I'm not the one breaking down and crying when you don't get your way.
Yeah.
Right? I'm not the one. But I am explaining to you something that's is scientifically backed, and plus I have stats to back me up, and you're telling me something totally different. So you know, those subs get to you, and you know, I count myself pretty strong-willed, you know, but when it starts to question really what who you are,
and
your abilities, it starts to get to you. And when you swallow it, and it's like swallowing poison.
That's
Keep quiet.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you swallow the poison, you swallow it, and it goes in your body. You just, every morning you suck it up, and you still got that poison sitting there, and it's bubbling up. I'm telling you, I had it all in my neck. Mm-hmm. I had it, you know, my back. I couldn't walk. My head was killing me. I was so fog-brained, I couldn't think.
Yeah.
It was just really bad. I was miserable. Mm. And I've never been like that, you know, if I was sick or something, but this was not.
Sure.
This was my first mental breakdown that I've, you know, and I've come from a childhood trauma. So, you know, I know what it feels like when you're depressed, but this was different. This is a different feeling. This is a different feeling. And I was like, it was questioning everything and who God told me who I was. Mm-hmm. It questioned that part. And when I felt that it questioned who God made me, and I'm like, whoa, I got to go to the doctors.
Yeah. You want to take care of this. Absolutely.
Yeah, I got to go to the doctors. And I went immediately to the doctors and I told them what was going on. You know, and he addressed that, and he's like, you know, Edna, I've known you for a while. I'm gonna tell you, you're the type of person, maybe you have to step away. You might have to step away. I'm gonna give you a note to step away. And I went right back to therapy. And I'm, you know, because not talking about it was getting to me too. You know,
yes,
it was getting to me. And that was, I was choking. I could feel this every time it would get here. It would just get here. I felt my, like, literally, I was like, I got to go take care of this. I really do.
Yeah.
And audience, we really have to, as Black women, and we're with the Black woman coach here, you know, we really have to take care of ourselves. Would you agree, Shantae? Could you add to that?
I agree 1,000%. The difficulty is we've been raised like this. This is what our mothers did and our grandmothers did and our great-grandmothers did. Yeah. And so we've been conditioned that this is who we're supposed to be, how we're supposed to respond.
Absolutely.
And it's hard to learn to do something different.
Different.
And, you know, we tell ourselves we have good intentions. Once I do this, then I can do that. Or I don't have time to go to the doctor because I need to do this, that, or the other.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Or symptoms because we think, oh, I'm just tired. I'm overworked. Yeah. Yeah. I just need to sleep, but then I can't sleep because I have to do, you know. And so I think what I've seen is women have relaxed a little bit when they hear me say, you were conditioned like this. There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah,
you didn't necessarily take a wrong turn.
Yeah, right.
You look back over life, you were conditioned. Right. You're doing exactly what you've been taught to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm trying to do is help women see that this is not the way, so that generations to
break
come.
That.
Don't keep following in our footsteps. We talk about unlearning the things that we have been taught.
Mm-hmm.
About being a Black woman and being a strong Black woman. And so I go through examples like one of the things I'll ask is if they've heard what happens in this house stays in this house.
And,
you know, 100% of the women in the room will say,
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We grew up with that. And just helping them understand that what that really taught us was not to share when we had a need, not to talk about places where we needed some assistance or things were going wrong. That taught us to keep everything to ourselves, not express our feelings, not express our emotions, and going through how to break that cycle and reach out and open up. Always, also always bring up the phrase, never let them see you sweat.
Oh, yeah.
All, you know, been told that we've got to be better than. Well, that's why we push harder and harder and harder, and we pretend to be okay. Someone says, hey, how you doing? Our standard reply is, I'm fine. Oh, I'm good.
Fine,
I'm good. But it's hard out here for Black women.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to stay that way. I think we can support each other. Now, the one thing that I've been talking about lately that's not always popular, but Black women are hard on Black women, and we've got to stop.
Oh, sure. We are.
Stop that. Yeah. We don't like to hear that we're the problem.
Yeah.
But sometimes we are the problem.
Yeah.
We are hard on other Black women.
Yeah. And we have to stop being first hard on ourselves. We won't be hard on others.
That's
right. So the way you treat other people is the way you're treating yourself.
Yep. That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
The way you treat yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned that, you know, I hear that too a lot is, you know, in business, you know, because I business coach a lot. Oh, well, I won't go to Black people because they don't support you. I was like, you know, how many times that if I gave a dollar for every time I heard that, I'm going to tell you, you know what? This is what I believe. If you're selling, I don't know, if you're selling charcoal, I live in an apartment.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why would I buy? It's not that I don't want to buy from you. It's not.
Right.
I can't use charcoal.
Exactly.
It's just common sense. I can't use charcoal. But when I say it to you, you take it in defense. Oh, you don't want to support me. No, I will sit with you and see. Everything to me is transactional.
Mm-hmm.
If you say to me, Edna, we want to have this conversation and we want to collaborate together. You know, let's get on a call. Let's talk about it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have a memorandum of understanding.
Right.
So you know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. And guess what? It makes me accountable that I'm not going to lie to you.
That's right.
You know, and business is done like that. But when we say, yeah, just support me. Come support me and show me something. It's like buying a pocketbook on the street. You just can't buy everything. You just got to wait a minute. Let me think it through. Let me ask somebody else, you know. But we don't think like that. It's like as soon as a Black person, you know, approaches you and it's you. Oh, you want to be friends with them. The other mm-hmm. thing is the other thing I have encountered. I'm the person that always say, "Oh, you're just so beautiful today." And it's not that I'm you know, I compliment you. I compliment.
Right.
I make it my business to talk to other sisters. That's my, mm-hmm. you know. But when mm-hmm. I see that you don't reciprocate, it's probably because it has nothing to do with me. Has all That's to do right. with you.
That's right.
So I've learned not to take offense for that and not to class everyone in that, well, Black people don't support you, Black people right. don't really like each other. I've learned that they have their own problems. You know, That's once right. I got to a place that I was loving on myself, that I could mm-hmm. say, hey, mm-hmm. I contributed to some of that you know, the attitude, because I had attitude, you know, like you can give me attitude, give it to you. Uh-huh. Right.
Right.
Give it to him back. So it's a lot of work. It's oftentimes, like you just said, sometimes when we're the coaches, we have to coach ourselves. We have to do some work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we as Black women got to do some work, and mostly not working, overworking yourself in somebody else's something in order to give you something.
That's right. You know? That's right.
It's hard. Like you said, it's hard, but it can be easier if we just do the work.
Just do the work. And we don't want to do the work, just as people. I'm not even saying Black women. I'm saying just as people.
In general.
We don't want to do the work. We want to stick something in the microwave and have a full course meal, you know.
We do.
Just doesn't work that way. Success no. involves blood, sweat, and tears. It involves you taking
lots of those tears, baby,
and saying, "Hey, this is where I messed up, or this is where I can improve. I improve. I have it going on over here. Let me work out this over there." It's just like that's why weight loss companies, you know, these pills and things are so popular. Like I want to lose more weight. I've lost weight, and I want to lose more weight. And gotten out and walked in forever. It's like, are you going to do the exercise? Are you going to do the work? You know, you want to sit around and do the same thing.
That's true.
Get the results. And that's kind of how we approach things. We want the husband, but we don't want to go through the growing pains of dating.
No.
Or we want, you know, lots of money, but mm-hmm. we want to sit around at home and not have to work for the money. We want these fancy meals, but we don't want to have to cook them. It's like, it's all in the work. You have to take responsibility for yourself. You have to do the work.
Sure do. Yeah. This is awesome. I love what we're talking about. And I know we're coming to the end of the show, but Shantae, you have really, really added to my thoughts, and you got the adrenaline pumping in me already. I like it.
Thank you.
What's coming on the horizon for you that you can share with my audience that you're going to be having over in Texas?
So I have a program that just launched in July that I call the Shantology Speaks Experience. My coaching practice is called Shantology Speaks. Okay. And that's where it's a 12-month program where women, we work each month and we do the work in the program. Yes. And we address the self-esteem issues and the mental health and the expectations and all of that. Okay. And so I am looking to expand that. I know that's for people that live in the Metroplex. I'm in the Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex. Okay. And so I'm looking to expand that to people who want to do that same work, but just don't live in Texas. So I would love to hear from your listeners if they are interested. You may can relate to this is you put it out there and the people don't want to do the work, but then they say, I wish I had somebody to help me do this, that, or the other. Mm-hmm. So I would love feedback from your listeners, if they would be open to doing the Shantology Speaks Experience virtually. There are workshops, monthly workshops, where we really get hands-on and learning. So for instance, and I know this is the end of the show, but just so that they can understand what they get into.
Sure.
The July workshop was on self-awareness. And we talked about the awareness of your thoughts, the awareness of your feelings, and the awareness of your actions and how they're all connected. And okay. So I used the game of Jenga to help demonstrate the awareness of your actions and how, just like in that game of Jenga, you mm-hmm. have to consider what happened before, you have to choose your piece strategically so that mm-hmm. you don't knock everything down. And so we do activities like that. It's fun, but you're also learning. But private coaching, you get private coaching. My husband is a chef. He cooks all the meals. Okay. And just really building some community. So I would love to be able to touch the lives of women that live outside of the Dallas-Fort Worth awesome. Metroplex. So that's what's going on here. I am happy to open it up virtually if there is some interest. So if you're interested in having the guidance and the support and the accountability, let me know and I'll open it up.
Awesome. Well, audience, you know what to do. You know how to, you know, get that going. So this is the end of the show and I appreciate you, Shante, for being here. And leave your questions if you're watching the video on the bottom of the video. And if you are listening on iTunes, I want you to please press that button and ask the question audibly and we'll answer it for you. Thank you so much for being here, Shante. This is Edna White, your host, and my esteemed guest, Shante Hollins, saying goodbye for now.
Bye.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Eden Cher.
And I'm Brock Charlelli.
We played best friends on The Middle.
And became best friends in real life.
We're here to rewatch The Middle with all of you.
Each week, we'll recap an episode with behind-the-scenes stories, guest interviews, and what we think now, many years later.
There's a lot to dive into, so let's get to middling.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
We've all done it. Stock our fridge with leafy greens and good intentions, only to have our future self sacrifice quality nutrition for the convenience of takeout. Keep your body and mind nourished all day with a whole body meal shake from Kachava. It's got 25 grams of protein, 6 grams of fiber, greens, and so much more. But the best part? It actually tastes delicious. With 6 indulgent flavors to choose from, it's easy to make a superfood packed shake. From chocolate, vanilla, and chai, to matcha, coconut acai, and strawberry, you've got endless ways to personalize your Kachava. Whether you prefer it straight up or enjoy adding fruit, peanut butter, nut milk, or even iced coffee, with every 2 scoops of Kachava, you're getting 85 plus superfoods, nutrients, and plant-based ingredients. Shop now through December 2nd to get 30% off your first purchase of 2 or more bags with code NEWS at Kachava.com. That's 30% off for a limited time at kachava.com, code NEWS.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.